of my prayer and the prayer of the elders for this church, both individually, each and every one of us as believers, but also as the church collective, right? And then come alongside and be involved with each other's life and to grow in Christ to be disciples. That's our call. So the same call is given to the stay-at-home mom as it is to the missionary that goes to Sudan, Africa. It's the same call to be a disciple maker. It's the same call for the soldier here at Fort Hood as it is to the one who might be sent to China. It's to be a disciple maker. And so here we are, all of us for many different reasons. God has brought us here to this Fort Hood area, and we have a purpose. To be disciple makers. And so our goal in 2022 is to get back on track. Like I said, we allowed the COVID situation to be an excuse for us to get way too inward focused, and we are correcting that. So we want to be disciple makers first and foremost in this community. And then beyond, we're going to stretch out from that. But we're going to make it a point this year to engage the Fort Hood community, because this is where God has put us, and this is where the gospel call to us has come. But doing that, I think we need to have a focus, if you will. Because it's one thing to go and to do these things and just say we're going to be pragmatic about it, or whatever works, we're going to go and we're going to accomplish this. But it's really easy if you do that to get your focus off. Because make no mistake, the focus, the reason that we want to do this, has nothing to do, honestly, has nothing to do with growing a bigger church. It has all to do with the glory of God. So I want to share with you guys, I want to read quick in John chapter 3, verses 25 through 30, and look at somebody who understood his place in ministry. And then I want to share with you the prayer of the elders and myself that we would have, the prayer of focus that we would have as individual believers this year, but also collectively as a church. So look with me at John chapter 3. We'll start in verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Ainon near Salim, because water was plentiful there and people were coming and being baptized. For John had not yet been put into prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who is with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, the joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. And he who comes from heaven is above all." Let's pray. Father, would you move by your Spirit, Lord, to give us a unified prayer and hope. We seek to be instruments of your grace in this community, to be used by you to care for those who need care, to comfort those who need comfort, to mourn with those who are mourning, to carry your gospel to all, to see you redeem a people for yourself. But we need a unified prayer, Lord. We need to echo the words of John the Baptist, that your Son must increase and we must decrease. Our very lives, Lord, must be more about you than they are about us. I ask, Lord, now that you would use me to encourage your people to that end, and that what I've prepared for today is not tainted by my failure in flesh, but is a worthy representation of your word and what you'd have me bring to your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to think about John the Baptist, and put yourself in his position. He had been given a call by God from birth, from before birth, that he was going to be a witness to the coming of the Messiah. And John comes, and he has this very interesting beginning to his ministry. He shows up, and he's a man who's kind of a wild man, and he has this unprecedented success in ministry. He shows up with his message of repentance and faith in God, and people are flocking to him to be baptized and to be his disciples. John the Baptist had disciples. They came and they followed. Disciples literally were students that were coming to follow him and learn from him. He had this blustering ministry. It was exploding all over the whole Judean area. He was the guy to go to. He was the new thing. He was the church, the A1 church in town, right? But now Jesus has come as he came to testify about. And people are leaving. They're leaving John's little flock of disciples, and they're going to Jesus. And his ministry is becoming less and less and less relevant. Now, if we think about this in the terms of the way we have jacked up church culture in the United States of America, you would think that's going to be a problem. Most pastors today would probably, I dare say, find themselves wanting to try to compete with Jesus. Because by golly, I'm trying to build my kingdom. I'm trying to build my folks. I'm trying to build my culture. I'm trying to build my thing. And the focus isn't really on the kingdom of God. But John doesn't do that. John is freed from those things. And when his friends come, when his disciples come, and they're like, hey, all these people are leaving you and they're going to Jesus now. John, your time of relevance is dying out. Your influence is dying out. What is the response of John the Baptist? Well, first, he wants to remind them of his very purpose. He says, you yourselves bear me witness, verse 28, that I said, I am not the Christ, but have been sent before him. He says, I want to remind you guys, the purpose that I have is not to be the Messiah, but to be one that heralds the Messiah. And that's an important reminder for us, because I believe we carry the same message. What's our job? Very similar to the message of John the Baptist. To herald the Messiah. The only difference is we're not heralding that he's coming. We're heralding that he has come. And so we need to get a right focus as brothers and sisters in Christ individually, but as a church as well. What is our mission? Not to create a Crestview kingdom, but to be a part of building God's kingdom by pointing and heralding to Christ. The community around us should be able to bear witness with us that even if they don't like us, what we are all about is proclaiming Christ. But then he says, the one who has the bride has the bridegroom, and the friend of the bridegroom who stands bears and hears him, rejoice greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, the joy is mine is now complete. What is he saying? He goes, so not only, it's okay that they're following Jesus because I was pointing to him, but I'm not worried about that. I'm not getting caught up in the fact that my little influence is falling down because my joy is not wrapped up in anything in this world. What is my joy wrapped up in, he says? In Jesus. Right? So he has a proper ministry focus, that his ministry is not for him, it is to point to Christ. And he will do everything to that end to accomplish that purpose. His joy is not wrapped up in these measurements that these others seem to be concerned with, that he's losing influence. No, he says, look, my joy is not wrapped up in that. My joy, I rejoice because I'm with the bridegroom. And that should be ours, right? That whatever God intends for our family here, whether it's hardship or whether it's bounty or whatever it is, that's not going to be where we find our hope and our joy together, but it's going to be the fact that you and I collectively get to share in Christ. And so that should be our focus. And then he says, verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. John understood that in order to fulfill his purpose in glorifying Christ, he had to decrease. It had to become less and less and less about him and more and more and more about Christ. And that's where we're at here. What does it mean that he must increase, but I must decrease? What does it mean for us? Because I think the statement that John made is a relevant statement for every believer and for every church. So what does it look like? What is, if you will, what is our prayer? As I said, the elders and our prayer that would be our focus on how we go through this next year and the years to come, seeking to decrease ourselves in order to increase Christ. What does that look like? Well, if you go back to Colossians, we just read this. We're going to read it again. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verses 3. But chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Paul writes, If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The first thing that I think our focus here, what it looks like to increase, is that we need to be seeking as individuals and as a church to increase our love for Christ and decrease any idolatrous love of lesser things in the world. That's an individual thing, right? That's something that we have to do, each and every one. We have to say, look, I am going to seek to put my focus on loving the Lord and less on loving the things of the world. We must increase our desire and our seeking to love Christ and decrease our idolatrous love of lesser things. This is what it means to be raised with Christ and to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So we are never going to be a joyful believers in Christ. We are never going to be people that when we walk out those doors, we are different than the world and usable by God to be disciple makers if we are wrapped up and finding our love and our happiness and our joy in all the perishing things of the world. Here's something that's difficult to grasp, but it's the truth. Everything that you and I own right now, every cherished possession that you have, is the future stuff of dumps and garage sales. That's just the truth. Nothing will last but Christ. Christ is ours eternally. So as individuals, if we are going to if we're going to grow, if we're going to magnify Christ in ourselves less, it's got to start with increasing our love for Him and decreasing idolatrous love of lesser things. Now, there's a lot that goes with that. How do I do that? Well, first of all, if you're going to love Christ, you got to know Him. And there is the one way that the Lord has given us blessedly to know Him. And that is in His Word. We can't know Jesus if we don't know Jesus. There's a lot of people out there that think they know Jesus, by the way. But they have created a Jesus in their own image. Because it's not the Jesus that is shown us in Scripture. And as much as people might think otherwise, the Jesus that we create is nothing compared to the Jesus of the Bible. He is greater and more beautiful and more perfect and more worthy of our adoration than anything we could ever create in ourselves. So we have to get into His Word. We also have to gather with His people. It's a consistent theme in the Scriptures. That God wants His people to gather together. That we are the body of Christ. That we are called together to be the instruments of God's grace to each other and mercy to each other and compassion to each other. That we in some ways are to come together to be that expression. So if we're going to increase our love for Him, not only do we have to seek Him out in His Word and do that, we have to seek Him out together to be useful together and to make that our focus. There's a lot of, I did not come up with this, it's been said by many other pastors, but there's an interesting thing, and especially in our culture, that you never ever hear somebody say, well, I can't. If somebody invites somebody to something or some new thing, and you never hear somebody say, well, I can't make that because I have to go to church that day. But you quite often hear, I can't go to church because I got this or that. And I'm not saying that we all miss church. We all have days that we're traveling and other things. We're not going to get legalistic and be Pharisees about it. That's silly. But it is a focus that we have to look. Where is my love? Do I have an idolatrous love of lesser things? Or am I having an increased love for Him? So our prayer in that is that we individually, myself, I'm not pointing at anybody. I'm looking at myself with these things. I see a need in myself. That we individually, we would seek to increase our love for Him and decrease any idolatrous love of lesser things. But we would also, as a church, that we would find more and more and more ways to make sure that everything we do is focused on Christ. Everything we do. So that's number one. Increase our love for Him and decrease any idolatrous love of lesser things. And go with me to Proverbs now. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. The second kind of focus on this prayer about how does this, what does this look like for us to decrease and Him to increase, is that we must increase our trust in His Word and decrease our trust in our own opinions. We must trust the knowledge, the wisdom of God as revealed in His Word over our own opinions. That's something absolutely contrary to our culture today. Now we're even passing laws and doing things based on not what is truth, but what is somebody's opinion. And that will not end well for us as a nation, as a people. But nevertheless, as God's people, as people redeemed by His glorious grace, we must increase our trust in His Word and decrease our trust in our own opinions. That means we believe according to His revealed will in His Word, not according to what we want to be. As individual believers, we must do that. We must bring our lives, everything about our lives, to bear under the instruction and the weight of God's Word. How do I live as a husband? Well, I don't do it based on my opinion. I go to God's Word, and He tells me how I love my wife, how I serve my wife, how I raise my children. How do you be a good wife, a godly wife? Well, you don't. It's not by your opinion. It's by what does the Word of the Lord say. How do I be a good employee at work? It's not about based on my opinion. The Scriptures tell me these things. How am I to be a good neighbor? Well, it's my opinion that my neighbor is a jackwagon, so I'm just going to ignore him. No, that's right. That's your opinion. Great. It's wrong. He might be a jagwagon, but it doesn't change how you're supposed to live. You get what I'm saying? If we're going to be used by God, right? If we're going to be used by God to be disciple makers in wherever He places, we have to now increase our trust in His Word. To trust that God really knows what He's talking about. And that sometimes I'm going to look at God's Word, I'm going to go, yeah, but I don't know, Lord. Everything in me is pinging, going, yeah, I want to do that. I want to do that. We have to put away that and trust His Word. There's no yeah buts with God. So that's the second thing. Our prayer is that individually and as collectively as a church, that we would increase our trust in His Word. As we make decisions as a church together on how we are going together, go about engaging this culture, we would trust His Word. And His Word, by the way, is going to call us to do things that are scary. It's going to call us to take risks for the purpose of helping and serving and caring for people and taking the gospel to people. It's going to cause us to risk. It's going to cause us to give. Not only of our money, but it is going to cause me, my family, and yours to give, to sacrifice to that. But it's also going to cause us to give of ourselves to people that we might not even want to give. Let's just be honest. Because why? Because that's what God's Word says. Our opinions take us elsewhere. And if we're a church driven by our opinions, we will be useless. We will be increasing ourselves instead of increasing the Lord. So we must increase our trust in His Word and decrease our trust in our own opinions. Now go to Philippians. This is like your one topical sermon for the year. Oh my gosh. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verses 9 through 11. This is Paul's prayer to the church in Philippi. I'll wait a minute and let you guys get there. You know, I'm going to start in verse 3 because I like reading more. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers of me with grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with affection, with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now look at verses 9 through 11. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. We must increase our passion for God's glory and decrease our passion for our own. And the way we do that is that our love would abound more and more. That our love would abound more and more. Think about what Paul's saying. So he's just talked about how he's so thankful for them and he remembers them, and they are known for their gospel purity. They are known for their missionary zeal. He says, you guys have partnered with me in the gospel from the first day until now. When he came with them with the gospel and they believed, it wasn't just that they believed. They also said, Paul, we want to be part of what you're doing. We're going to support you, Paul, and we want to go. We want to send people out to take the gospel. We want to be missionaries for the cause of the gospel. Matter of fact, so much so that Paul uses them in the 2 Corinthians to talk about their great work and the great giving that they were doing, how God's grace had moved them so much to be used to give and to serve. He's like, I am so thankful for you for that partnership. But then when he gets down to say, what is my prayer for you? What is my prayer for you? That your love may abound more and more. If we're going to increase, it's going to increase through our, or if we're going to decrease and Christ is going to increase, it's going to be because we are less focused on ourselves and more focused on loving others. Loving others. And it's not really hard, by the way, to define that. To love others is to seek what is good for others. If we're focused on ourselves and we are manipulating relationships and all these things for our own benefit, we are seeking to increase. But when we sacrifice, when we live selflessly, seeking that our love would abound more and more, and with that includes with knowledge and discernment. Seeking his will. It's the other two things that we focus on: God's word, focusing on our hope in him. These things all fit. That's how we love, with knowledge and discernment. And we know when we do that we will be pure and blameless if we're seeking to love and to care, right? Why is that? Because Jesus himself says, what is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. How do you fulfill the law of Christ? What is the law of Christ? Paul's prayer. And is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. So if we're going to be individual Christians who go about our lives and we're going to be used by God to be disciple makers, one of the things we better be known for is love. And God doesn't have much use for Christian jerks. This is why we have rule number one. What's rule number one? That's right. It's a very simple rule. The reason for me is rule number one is because most mornings I start off, Lord, just let me not be a jerk today. because it comes natural to me. Anybody else? So I ask, Lord, don't let me be a jerk today. And I start first. And then God would increase our desire to love and decrease our desire to protect self, both individually and collectively as a church. So I pray that you would join us on this journey this year. I can't wait to see what God will use us to do in this community this year. I am certain we will have failures. I'm certain of it. But I'm also certain that if we seek just to try to do these things, we'll be useful disciple makers and make a difference. Be a light on a hill. You know why you need a light on the hill? Because the valley is dark. And friends, the world out there is dark. And everywhere out there in that world, there are people who God desires to see come to Him through faith in His Son. And in God's infinite and perfect wisdom, He has chosen to use the foolish things of the world. He has chosen to use people like you and me to be light in the midst of the dark world. Let us not hide it, as Jesus said. Let it be our cry, Lord, I must decrease that you might increase in my life and in this church. Let's pray. Father, these are important things that we need your work. We need you to do this in us as we seek to live in what you are doing. We are often not good people. We often place our love for other things above you. We often hold our own personal opinions above your word. And we often seek to be lovers of self more than lovers of others. But we know, Father, that as your apostle said to those Christians thousands of years ago, that we are confident that you will complete the work that you began in us. And we ask, Lord, that you would come, that you would move in our church, that we might be a people for your glory, that we might be used by you to make an impact in this community, in the place that you have put us. And free us, Lord, from the desire to see our own fruits of the labor, but to trust that if we simply trust your word and do what you have called us to do, we will glorify you and be part of building your kingdom. Bind us together, Lord, to that endeavor. I thank you for that great privilege to be disciple makers. Thank you in Jesus' name.